Good afternoon, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to a special draft day edition. We are wrapping up the 2013 NFL Draft. Joining me live from Radio City Music Hall in New York City, we have Pro Football Draft Previews Andrew Garda from Cheesehead TV, our very own. Andrew, how's it going at Radio City?
Well, we're making it through the last portion of the day. We saw Mike Mayock dancing a few minutes ago. I think I just saw Eric Falco of Optimum Scouting passing out. We're trying to find some caffeine and new ways to get it into our system as soon as possible, because I think everybody's on fumes right now.
Well, very shortly you'll be able to relax and rest, but we're going to wrap things up here. To wrap up the seventh round, the Packers took a pair of wide receivers, which you did the wide receiver scouting reports for our draft preview guide. They are Charles Johnson of Grand Valley State University. And then from Maryland, we have, what's his name? Kevin Dorsey. Neither of these guys are highly rated, but tell me just a little bit about them, because I'm sure you don't know as much about them as you did about Cordarrelle Patterson and company.
Yeah, well, absolutely. We spend most of our time looking at the top guys. You always want to take a look at the late round people, especially when you're talking about the Packers, because Ted Thompson loves him some Flyers. You know, every few years we have some guys on the practice squad that the Packers like to promote, give a shot, and that's why you get, you know, guys like a James Jones or a Jordy Nelson coming up. Sometimes they work out, sometimes they don't. These are very intriguing picks to me, though. First, you have a guy in Charles Johnson, 6'2", 215 pounds, a nice 4'3". It is fast. Able to move down the field very quickly, but still more of a guy who's going to be able to stretch the field, but very rough. He only really started 2 years. Last year in college, though, he had 31 touchdowns and 2,200 plus yards. That's not bad. Sure, Grand Valley State, it's a high-level competition, but he's a guy who might be able to stretch the field, be sort of like a Brett Jennings light. In some respect, it'll take a while to see for sure if he's going to be able to really kind of prove himself on a pro football level. But I have a lot of faith that he's at least going to get a shot. If he could listen to Mike McCarthy and he listens to the position coaches, I think he has a good shot at developing into a decent receiver. The other guy you mentioned, of course, would be Kevin Dorsey. Another guy, not a big school player, not anyone, you know, noticing much. Maryland, you know, not as all his Grand Valley State, but not one of the bigger institutions you see. A year player, so he stayed in a red shirt 1 year, was number one wide receiver in his last 2 seasons, very smart, is a good possession receiver. This is a guy who is not going to stretch the field like maybe Charles Johnson will. This is a guy who's a move the chain sort of cat. He's someone that you're going to hit with those short passes, kind of like a poor man's James Jones was, or a poor man's Randall Cobb. He's not as fast, he's a 4'5 guy, he's 6'2, his good hands. He has had some foot injuries. He has had some overall issues with trying to stay healthy, but was also a guy who is one of the team captains last year. He is a high character guy, and that to me screams like McCarthy and Ted Thompson as well. You know, both these guys, you may see sort of hang around the practice squad for a year or so. But down the road, I think both of them have enough raw, you know, potential to come in and maybe even start or fill in at certain points. You got Jared Boykin, Jeremy Ross, Cedric Cunningham. None of those guys are that exciting. So there's plenty of room for both Johnson and Dorsey to catch on and maybe even make the active spot this year. You know, this is the Packers. Reset, reload. You know, they lost Brett Jennings. They've got Jordy Nelson, James Jones, and Randall Cobb. Last year, Jordy Nelson was hurt. They've got Jones and Cobb stepped up. That's just how the Packers function at almost every position group, you know, with the exception of Aaron Rodgers at quarterback. this is a team that just reloads, and that's what they're doing with both of these guys. I like them both. Depending on who you listen to or who you read, some people have them in the seventh round. Some people have them undrafted free agent. I didn't have Dorsey ranked. I had Johnson as like a seventh rounder free agent. So I think this is perfect. And this is about the time of the draft when you're basically just getting anyone you want and just making sure you don't get it. I do know I want to make a note. I've been watching the Bleacher Report draft show with our own Aaron Nagler. He's doing Packer fans, he has been doing you so proud. His voice is blown at this point. But he has been pounding the table for Derek Rogers, who is a very talented wide receiver still on the board at this point, and everybody's wondering why. Unfortunately, everything I've heard here at Radio City Music Hall, he's a guy that turned off teams in the interview process. Didn't necessarily make a lot of friends with his fellow teammates. Coaches didn't love him. He did have issues with coaches at certain points and just seemed to him away unimpressed with him. So I'm not shocked given the factors. And as I said, high character guys. You know, Kevin Dorsey, Charles Johnson are both pretty good guys. I'm not shocked that Aaron didn't get his man question to Rick Rogers. Talent is really important. When you already have good talent like the Packers do, there's no sense in wasting time with a guy who isn't going to play ball really nicely with the other people around him. But they pick him up as an undrafted free agent, possibly, but I just don't see him being a priority for them. And I think they got the two guys they could, both of them, very good developmental prospects.
Yeah, you know, I almost thought that it's to the point where he's worth the risk late in the seventh round, but... these young guys here, Johnson, Dorsey, they're at a position where the Packers had a little bit of, exodus this past year with Greg Jennings leaving in free agency, Donald Driver retiring. Do you kind of see this as a place where, hey, they can stick around as maybe a number five guy this year because of the numbers game?
Absolutely. I think the Packers in general, I don't think the turnover is that bad. I like Greg Jennings, and I think he's going to do pretty well for the Vikings. Sorry, Packer fans. But I think he's got a year or two in him where he could really continue to be productive. But I didn't feel like he was that much of a key last year to them being a contender. And I really feel like Nelson is healthy, and Nelson Jones and Cobb, you've got more than enough. And then, you maybe keep an extra guy or two on just to protect yourself from injury. You don't have to reach for the really big guys. And this is, the great position that the Packers are in. They have talent there already. They've got them locked up under contract. The next guy wide receiver-wise they really have to worry about is going to be Cobb. And I don't think it's going to cost them all that much to keep him right now. But that's not this year. That's not next year. So, I wasn't surprised that Thompson didn't go a tad earlier on a higher level wide receiver in some respects, because that was something that a lot of beat writers and scouts were talking about at the Senior Bowl in Mobile. Ty Dunn of a Journal Sentinel and I had a long conversation about it. And the thinking was that they might go second or third round. It's such a talent rich wide receiver group, not top end, like the quarterback, not an elite top end, but a solid second, third, fourth rounds, but they stayed the course. They hit the defense, they hit the offensive line, they got positions that need filled out, and wide receiver, not a QB. This Ted Thompson, and Ted, you trust. That's what you guys do, and there's good reason for it. I really feel like they could have gone. I would have loved to see, anyone from, a Keenan Allen to Ryan Swope, who's a guy that I fell in love with. It's briefly at Senior Bowl because you got hurt. But at the end of the day, they don't have to. They have the luxury because they're so good at building. And I think both Johnson and Dorsey could be guys that'll be around for a couple of years, allow them to continue to build so they can once again reboot and reload when they need to.
Andrew, before we let you go, maybe just, being there at Radio City Music Hall, what were some of the impressions, the big things you're taking away from the weekend, some of the big events, the memorable things that happened, maybe elsewhere in the NFL aside from Green Bay?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm still trying to wrap my head around the Buffalo Bills moving back to pick DJ Manuel. Clearly, they thought that someone was going to get to him before they did in the second round. I understand what they see in him in terms of the upside. He's got a tremendous ceiling. He's a one read and react, one read and run, one read and throw guy. If you have to have him make progressions, you're in trouble. He's got a lot of talent offensively for the Bills for him to use, but I just think it was swirly. If they have to throw him into the fire, and when you've got Arvarez Jackson as your starting quarterback right now, they're going to have to. I think they're setting Manuel up for a disaster. I thought that Geno Smith going in the second round for the Jets was interesting. I have some concerns about him being able to handle the New York press, but that can be a very interesting thing to watch. And it was interesting to see how he coped with dropping them the second day. He left Friday night early. He said to celebrate his birthday to go out with his family, but you know, someone could have jumped in and picked him up at the end of that first round, and he wouldn't have been here for it. And then there was a rumor he wasn't going to show up, and then he was going to show up. It was very clear that he expected to be gone that first round. And I sat in, you guys can look at TED TV, press conferences on there. Didn't look comfortable. He's happy to be a Jet, but he's not overjoyed to be a Jet. And I wonder if that's going to be a real issue down the road. I got to tell you, though, the Packers have a hard road to the NFC to make it to the Super Bowl. I'm not even going to worry about the AFC for them, but you have teams like the 49ers, who got better. The Seattle Seahawks got better. And this Rams, who really improved that team across the board. The Minnesota Vikings, who I feel like got two steals in the first round with Sharif Floyd and Xavier Rhodes. And then, while I think they overpaid to get Cordarrelle Patterson, that made them better. And then I feel like they did a good job today of filling in some other needs. I mean, right now the NFC is looking as tough as I've ever seen it. And I haven't even touched on some pretty solid drafts by Atlanta and, New Orleans and teams like that. The Packers, they know that everybody is nipping at their heels. And I think that Ted Thompson did a very good job of trying to backfill and put this team in a position to overcome them. But the NFC, to me, had a phenomenal draft pretty much across the board.
Well, let me ask you this, Andrew, here, too. Of course, Green Bay, known as a passing team with Aaron Rodgers, but they take two of the better running backs in this year's class in Eddie Lacy and Jonathan Franklin. Are the Packers now going to commit to running the football?
I think that they will. I think in some ways Franklin was almost insurance a little bit for Lacy. Lacy had his pro day. He kind of was out of shape, and he was a little winded, and that scared a lot of scouts. I think that's why he fumbled as far as he did. But the Packers couldn't pass him up. If he's healthy and he's determined, and, I mean, again, you go into a Mike McCarthy locker room in that group, he's going to learn really quickly that you can't just show up. You have to put in the time and the effort. If he is, he's a really good running back. And then you have Franklin, had a great senior season at UCLA. Catch the ball. He's working a fast catch a little bit, but can break out wide. I mean, you've got a smash and dash there, and I still believe very heavily in Devon Harris. I really think that he's got a lot of talent there. Between the three of them, they've just got to figure out how many carries they want to give out. And when Ryan Grant was kind of at his top, they would run the ball like a significant amount of time. They do pass a lot. They like to pass a lot. They're not afraid to run the ball, even with Aaron Rodgers swinging the ball around. So I think that they, if you're looking at it from a fantasy standpoint, it could be a bit of a disaster because you don't know who's going to get the carries. But between the three of them, Lacy could be a really, really brutal short yardage, goal line back. And Franklin could be the outside third down, catching the ball and the flat guy, and Devon Harris can do a little bit of both. I mean, I think that the Packers, it's hard to believe that they're not going to throw the ball a lot, but they've got a phenomenal backfield if things play out the way they look like they will. You could see a little bit different way of going about winning games for the Packers, and I think that's all for good.
Andrew, thank you so much for joining us here on our draft day edition here at Railbird Central. Thanks for everything you've done for the website, checking in from Radio City and the coverage you've provided for there. And thanks for everything you did for the draft guide. I appreciate it.
Well, thanks yourself, man. I you put it together every year with the draft guide now, what, 3 years running or something like that, and every time it's a pleasure to work on. It's a lot of fun, and you do a great job yourself putting it all together and reining in all the free-range chickens that I like to call our writers.
Free-range chickens.
Yeah, sort of in on time. So thank you very much, and back at you.
All right. Take care, Andrew, all right?
All righty.
Okay.
Take it easy, man.
Yep. Andrew Garda checking in live from Radio City Music Hall as we wrap up the 2013 edition of the NFL Draft. Glad to have him join us. You know, we talked about quite a bit. Andrew knew quite a bit about Charles Johnson and Kevin Dorsey. So I'll stand on that as you know, I mean, I may have heard a little bit in passing about these guys. Well, I did, of course, because they had him in for visits and, you know, that kind of stuff just comes across the news feed. But the Packers made one more selection. Sam Barrington, a linebacker from South Florida. And admittedly, again, we get down to the seventh round. I don't know a whole lot about these guys, but he was invited to the NFL Combine. So, you know, he did, you know, he was thought highly enough to do that. And I'll just touch on him briefly from the stuff that I do know here. Just looking at his measurables, his size, he is 6'1" and 246 pounds. I'm assuming he'll be an inside linebacker in the Packers schemes. Usually if you're talking outside linebacker, and he might have been an outside linebacker in a 4-3 defense there, but you know, kind of like Terrell Manning last year, who played outside linebacker in a 4-3, those guys kind of guys, unless you're like 6'3, 6'4 plus, you know, you can't play on the line of scrimmage like the Packers asked their outside linebackers to do. So, with Sam Barrington though, He played at South Florida, so, you know, he was a major college player, played in the Big East there. And, you know, I have a couple, just the NFL.com official profile here. As a true, as a true freshman, he appeared in all 13 games and started one. Pretty impressive for a true freshman. He tallied 41 tackles, 2 for a loss, with 1 pass defensed. In 2010, Barrington played in all 13 games and logged 11 starts. He finished 3rd on the team in tackles with 65, 6.5 for a loss. He also added half a sack, 2 forced fumbles, and a fumble recovery, and 3 passes broken up. Barrington's junior year saw him start all 12 games. He had 72 tackles, 6.5 for a loss, 2.5 sacks, and 1 interception. In 2012, Barrington's play earned him a second-team All-Big East nod. He had 80 tackles, 6.5 for a loss, 3.5 sacks, 2 forced fumbles, and 3 pass breakups. So there you go, a productive guy who got it done all 4 years in college. So there's a lot to like there from that standpoint. While his measurables were just kind of average, what I got here on him from the combine, 4.91 second 40 time, 22 reps on the bench, 32.5-inch vertical, 117-inch broad jump. So that's all I got there because he declined to do a few drills at the combine. I'm not sure if it was just he wanted to wait to his pro day and make sure he got better or he's actually has any sort of injury concerns. I haven't heard, haven't read of any injury concerns with him, but what we have here, I do have his pro day results from NFLDraftScout.com. He ran the 40-yard dash in 4.69 seconds at his pro day. His 10-yard split was 1.60. He is 20-yard short shuttle was 4.25 seconds, and his 3-cone drill was 7.16 seconds. So there you go. That is Sam Barrington, the first inside linebacker prospect the Packers took this year. So obviously, even though they took, got rid of a DJ Smith on the eve of the draft, they still stayed put, basically, at inside linebacker. Other than that,
You know, they've still got A.J. Hawk, Brad Jones under contract. Desmond Bishop, haven't talked about him on the podcast today, even though right before the draft began, there was this report that the Packers were shopping Desmond Bishop. And actually what I saw, and it, somebody can add this here to the live blog if they want to contribute to this, but I thought I saw somewhere somebody tweet out that the Packers were simply fielding phone calls on Desmond Bishop instead of actively shopping him. So maybe teams inquiring about him, but I almost find it hard to believe that they'd even be inquiring about Desmond Bishop coming off a season in which he didn't even play. He's got a hamstring injury. I'm very skeptical the player he'll be, and skeptical that a team, not that, I mean, if the Packers, like DJ Smith, they cut Desmond Bishop, there'd be a team out there who would take a shot on him. But I just find it hard that any team would want to invest anything like a draft, giving the Packers a draft choice. Well, you know, nobody ended up doing that, so it could have been just some sort of smokescreen or something. But, you know, Packers still have plenty of numbers at inside linebacker, regardless between, you know, Jones, Hawk, Bishop. Then they got the young guys. You know, last year they trade up and grabbed Terrell Manning. They got Jamari Lattimore. They got Rob Francois. So a lot of guys there. Barrington will come in, see what they got. Who knows? Maybe a hit on a guy like that. But now it's time for, Jamie says here on our live blog, Ted addressed it post-draft, said basically a lot of talk goes on, but most of it goes nowhere. Yeah, figures. A lot of undrafted free agent news will be coming out throughout the night here. All night long, you're going to hear about, Packers signing guys. They'll sign roughly a dozen of them. They always keep a few spots open for tryout guys. They usually keep about 2-3 spots open. They'll invite 25 guys to try out in like 2 weeks from now. And they'll sign about 2 or 3 of them and see who impresses. But yeah, so they'll sign about a dozen guys tonight. And Wisconsin Rob passing along the new NEPatriotsDraft.com link. Yeah, every year they're right on top of undrafted free agent news. So make sure to go there and check it out. Every once in a while they get one wrong, but I mean when you're dealing with hundreds of undrafted free agents from every team in the NFL, it's understandable if they get one wrong here and there, or sometimes it'll be a workout or a tryout instead of actual signing and things like that. But anyway, that's a good a resource as you're going to find out there. I'd be happy to talk about undrafted free agents, but after 4 live broadcasts today, I'm not going to do it today. Make sure to tune back in for our Monday morning edition of Railbird Central, and we'll recap some of the biggest names that the Packers end up signing here in undrafted free agency. So every year, you know, as you know, there's a handful of guys every year that end up making the team, making the roster. Last year it was Desmond Moses who ended up making the team. There were a few more guys as well, so it's been a long time. But hey, folks, it's been fun. Hey, I've had so much fun, not just this weekend, but over the past few weeks, trying to go wade through all this draft stuff that a lot of times is hard to do. But it's been a labor of love, and it's been fun. So I'm signing off here for the last time, our draft day podcast here. But like I said, we'll be back on Monday for another edition of Railbird Central. Thanks to everyone. Thanks to all the contributors. Thanks to everybody from Pro Football Draft Preview who joined me on the phone this weekend. Thank you, Jamie, for running the live blog all weekend long. Thanks for everybody from Cheesehead TV, and thanks to you, the listener, the viewer, the reader, for buying Pro Football Draft Preview, investing in it. We love you. Thanks a lot, everyone. I'll leave you today with a song called Tweaker by The Speaker by Keller Williams on Psy Fidelity Records. So we'll see you later. Go Pack, go. Spinning around.
How do you not dizzy out and fall down?